Good morning, everybody. Today, I have a subject which, to be quite honest, I'm not sure how to present. You see, I want to talk to you today about thankfulness. But you're a church that are very thankful. You're a church that are literally bursting at the seams here almost. You're a church that's able to praise God with glory and power. You're a church that have good speakers. You're a church that has unity together. And you're a church that has something that most of the churches around the rest of Northern Ireland is not experiencing at the moment, and that is growth. So you have a lot to be thankful for. But what I'd like to bring to our attention today is, what do we as Christians within the body of Christ, what is we as a body should be thankful for? So I want to start off this by asking you to turn with me to what Jesus said concerning thankfulness. And as usual, I can't find the thing when I'm looking for it. It always falls. Did you ever notice that? You put a mark in the Bible and it goes away. It's Luke 10. This is the story of when the 70 who had been sent out to preach in all the towns and villages before Jesus went to them. This was their reaction when they came back. The Bible states that in verse 17 of Luke 10, and when the 70 returned with joy, saying, "The Lord has given even the demons that are subject to us." So here were individuals who were very thankful. You see, when they were sent out initially, they were very worried. You can understand. They'd been with Jesus. They'd seen what he could do. And now he was giving them the same authority, the same power, and saying, "You go ahead of me and get the people prepared. You go ahead and do what I'm doing. You cast out the devils. You heal the sick. You preach the acceptable day. You raise the dead. You do the miracles." So they weren't exactly sure, but in obedience they went. They had followed. They had already seen the success of the 12 apostles when they had been sent out. So the 70 realized it could happen. They could do this. But they were nervous. They were worried. But the Bible tells us that when they came back, they were no longer worried. They were full of thanks. They were full of praise. They wanted to glorify that all of this authority could be given to them. Individually, to them. To actually represent Jesus Christ to all these people before he came. That's what they were thankful for. But I want you to notice what Jesus said to them. And it's a very simple thing. He said in verse 20, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Now, I don't know about you, but if we were a church who could literally go out into Ballymoney and meet people in the streets that were lame, sick, in wheelchairs, and said to them, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and be healed," and began to preach and teach in the churches all around here about what Jesus is doing and how he works, and be able to perform miracles, I think we'd be very, very thankful. So I think, why did Jesus say to them, "No, don't be thankful for that. Don't worry about that"? He said, what we should be thankful for was that our names are written in the book of life. That your names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. That is what you should be thankful for. That's what should be your reason for rejoicing. Not the gifts, not your abilities, not what you can do, not how you serve, but what? That you already are recorded. Many Christians today believe that they should be thankful just for Jesus. They believe that they should rejoice that Jesus came and took their sins. And yes, Jesus came and Jesus took our sins. But Jesus himself said that he was the way. He was the door. He is not the gift that God wanted to give us. He was the means for us to receive that gift. Now that's strange sometimes, because we don't often think of it like that. Jesus himself is the way for us to receive the gift of eternal life. Because without Jesus, you can't get eternal life. Thanks to a certain couple called Adam and Eve, you will remember that they managed to bar us completely from being able to receive this gift. God ended up having to put an angel on this gift so that we can't get to it. So there's no way to get to this gift unless you go through the proper door. Unless the door has been opened for you to get it. And that door is Jesus. So we need to understand, and we need to be thankful for Jesus, yes. But we've got to remember that he himself is not the goal. Christ is not the goal. Christ is the means by which you reach the goal. Your goal, according to Jesus, is that your names are written in the book of life and that you have eternal life. That you have a relationship with your Father. That's what was originally intended. That's what the gospel continually tells. The only way for you to be able to have that relationship is through Christ. So you need to know Christ and you need to have a close relationship with Christ. But let's examine that close relationship for a moment. Jesus said, unless I am in you and you are in me, there can be no communication between us. You cannot remain. You cannot be part of the body. You have to be rooted into the vine. You remember that it was said that the branches were taken off the wild olive tree, no, the wild vine, and grafted into the true vine. And the true vine is Christ. The true vine represents Israel, and we are all considered spiritual Israel. But unless we're in Christ, we do not have Christ. But if we are in Christ, then Christ is in us. And that's how we have life. For those who have Christ have life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that has me shall never see death. And that's an interesting aspect. So when we're considering thankfulness, when we're considering what we should be thankful for, and we have to remember, this is the time of year when the world begins to look towards being thankful. Right enough, it's not often sure about what it's thankful for, but it does consider. And it gives a bit of thought towards thankfulness. This is the time when people will be generous and they will say to you, I have a lovely gift for you. And they'll give you a bottle of whiskey. That's their idea of thankfulness. You've worked hard for them, so they give you something that, you know, put you off your head. But that's all right. Because sometimes what we do is we simply move it on. Don't we? I mean, it's just how you go sometimes. We pass it on to somebody that wants it, or maybe we keep it ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. People are thankful in different ways. Some people are thankful for their health. Some people are thankful because they've got a job. And at this particular time, there's a lot of people thankful that they've got a job. Other people are thankful for their children. Some are thankful that their children aren't the children next door. But that's a different story. You get that. People are different, thankful for different reasons and for different things. There was a man once recorded in a parable. He was so thankful to God. He said, I'm so thankful, I'm not like that guy down there. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. But you know, for all his thankfulness, he wasn't the one that got recommended to God. It was the guy lying on the floor saying, forgive me. You see, thankfulness in and by itself isn't what God's looking for. He wants you to be thankful for the right reasons. He doesn't want you to be thankful for anything that just happens. He wants you to be thankful for the gift of life that he has made available through Jesus Christ to you. And it's that gift of life that he wants you to concentrate on. Because it's yours. You have it. It's given to you. You have it dwelling in you. But you know, what are you meant to do with it? If you're really thankful for something and you want to show your appreciation of it, what do you do with it? You use it. You show it off. You put it up in a place of reverence. If somebody gives you something nice for the home, You don't hide it under the bed. Well, you might, depending on who gave it to you and what it is. But generally speaking, if you're really thankful for it, if you really appreciate it, you put it up somewhere where it's going to be seen, where everyone's going to admire it. And we've been given the most powerful and beautiful gifts ever. Because through life, which we've received with Jesus, we have been given the gifts of the Spirit. You, the church, are a body. That's what we sang in one of the hymns there. You are the body of Christ. You're not part of the body. You're not innate with the body. You're not a little bit of the body that should be attached somewhere else. You are a complete, total body. See how you work that out? Simple. Every individual church consists of the entire body of Christ. So you, all of you sitting here today, as one church, represent the fullness of Jesus Christ. That means some of you can talk. Some of you can heal. Some of you can intercede. Some of you can work miracles. Some of you can do amazing things when it comes to counseling and giving advice and encouragement. You all have these gifts, but you all have them in different aspects because you're the complete body of Christ. So whatever Christ was able to do, you can do. Now, I don't mean that each individual one of you can do all the things, because we're told not all have all the gifts. But all the church here have to have all the gifts. And if you are missing a gift, then you ask God to heal you. If you were sick, what do you do? Well, you have a choice. You can go to the doctor, you can talk, go to God. Now, maybe you do both. Most people do both. They go to God and then they'll go to the doctor. That's normal enough. That's how we behave. We figure out that's how it's meant to be. But what you wouldn't do is do nothing. If you were sick, and I mean sick as in really sick, you don't ignore it. You would go and do something about it. Even if it's only going to your bed and getting a cup of hot tea with you, you do something. But we as a church frequently forget that as the body of Christ, we can get sick. We can be missing parts. We can miss different aspects. And we need to realize that when that happens, we need to come together and pray to God and discuss and ask Him to heal the fullness of the body. Why am I telling you this? I've just said you're the biggest church. And you have more to be thankful for than any of the rest of the churches. But that's why. You are the most complete of all the churches in Northern Ireland, of the body of Christ. You have that ability to grow, to mature, to develop, to reach out. You have that. You can do that. And if you're thankful to God for the gift of life, this is something that has to become part and parcel of how you proclaim yourself. Does that mean you go around the doors and start telling people, you need to know Christ? No, it doesn't. It means that in every aspect of your individual life, Christ has to be revealed. How do you deal with the person while you're driving along the road who decides to take the shortcut, forcing you almost into the hedge? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the individual at work who really gets on everyone's nerves? How do you deal when you go into the shop to get yourself a loaf of bread and the people in front of you are pushing you out of the way because they want to get all their stuff to the counter first? You see, how you deal with these things determines who's in charge. If you're in charge, well, you will redeal the fullness of human nature, won't you? If you're in charge, that person will get a mouthful that drove you off the road. That individual at work, you'll let them know exactly how you feel about them. That person who stepped in front of you in the queue,
Listen, you get to the back. Come on, move.
But if Christ's in charge, that's not the response. Because he yields. He accepts. He's willing to forgive. Sometimes it's hard for that. It's hard for us to realize that we have been bought for a price. We have received the gift of life, and that gift was given to us because we are willing to allow the fullness of Christ to be reflected through us. You ever think what happened when Jesus left this planet? Was his work meant to stop? No. His work transferred. You see, Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father until he would be sent back. But the work that he was given, the work that God had assigned to him, was to continue through the body left here on earth. And that's you. You are the physical body of Jesus Christ in Balamuni. Scary, isn't it? It's more scary in Craigavon, and as for Belfast, well, we just don't discuss that at the moment. Because it's really scary in Belfast at the moment. But you know, you are the body of Christ. Now there's something to be thankful for. You have the responsibility to do his work. Do you give thanks for that? Are you rejoicing about that? Are you rejoicing about the fact that he has given you these gifts? That you can do this? Maybe you don't really see much operation of the gifts of God. Why not? You have evangelists. You have people that go out and reach into other churches. You have people who are prayer warriors, who continually are intercessing on behalf of the rest of the congregation. You have people who preach. You have people who teach. You have counselors. You have pastors. You have administrators. You have every aspect of the body. You say, but we don't see great miracles. Listen, you see great miracles, but you just don't always recognize them. I'm going to tell you about a miracle. Happened to me. When I was younger, I'll call it simple. I think I may have had mouth ulcers. Or not mouth ulcers, stomach ulcers, right? Now, how bad these stomach ulcers were never diagnosed. But I'll give you the symptoms. If I ate a bit of toast, I was crumbled up in pain. Because all the acid flux would come right up and burn massively. As for alcohol, no. No way. You took it, you were in pain for ages. So you just didn't. However, I did discover that Bass didn't do it. So Bass became a friend. Then they took it off the market for a while. But never mind, that's beside the point. Couldn't eat spicy food. Loved curry. Couldn't eat spicy food. Problems. So my diet was very restricted. So naturally I took this to God. No, I didn't. This had been part and parcel of my life since I was 15 years old. It was just one of them things. You learn to work with it, you know? You learn to accept it. About 25 years or so, 20 years? 20 years, and she's correcting me again. There was a slight hiccup with my condition. I forgot how to swallow. I mean literally, could not swallow anything. No water, no food, nothing. Didn't get hungry. Didn't want to get hungry. No swallow. So I was all right. I was happy enough. Managed to keep the weight down. You haven't eaten for about 3-4 days. Great. Not hungry. But everyone else was panicking. I mean, they were throwing a real major, what do we do here? This is serious. And I said, sorry. Don't worry about it. And they were saying, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But finally they said to me, look, why don't you take it to the church? I said, okay. So I went up. It was Craigavon Church at the time. They were in the Brownlow Centre. And talked to Mr. Roycroft. Yes, it was Mr. Roycroft.
I had mentioned to him that I'm having a difficult swallowing. Would he mind anointing me? So he took me into the wee side room after the service. He laid hands on me, a little bit of oil in his hand, prayed for me. I went out, and immediately I was able to have tea. I was able to drink, eat, problem solved. And I wouldn't have thought too much about that, except, you know, thank you, able to eat again, no problem. Then I made a discovery over the next few weeks and months. I never had heartburn again. I never had stomach problems. I never had any difficulty of any description. Now, to me, this had to be proven. So guess what? Spicy of the food, the burnt of the toast, it didn't matter. I tried it all. And there was never a problem. Never. It was a complete and total healing of something I didn't even realize could be brought to God. He healed me completely. Am I thankful for that? Yes. Very thankful. But that wasn't all he healed me of. You see, I had another condition. It was one of them conditions that annoys you and holds you back and causes you problems. It's called epilepsy. And as a result of that there, I had to be very careful of where I went and how I went and what I was doing and make sure somebody was always in the facility, and if I was going somewhere where I wasn't known, I had to do the embarrassment of telling people, look, there's a possibility I could just... And what to do if that happens? Because if you don't, you end up in hospital. And if you go to hospital epileptic, they don't really want to know, but at the same time, I found myself more than once up here in the Mid-Ulster Hospital, over near Cookstown, no Maharafelt, that direction, and they didn't want to see me. I didn't have a car. My car was Noma. Those little things happened. That's how it worked. But God totally wiped it away. Never came back. So one healing, God dealt with a lot of problems. He just wiped them out. But all I had a problem with, as far as I could see, was I couldn't swallow. And it wasn't really worrying me. But others were worried. Others forced my hand. Others insisted that I went and got prayed for. You are part of those others. When people are sick among you, when people show problems and difficulties, you will give them counsel. You will say to them, look, we need to pray about this. You need to do this about it, or you need to do that about it, or here's something that I know worked for so-and-so. Try that. You help people. You guide people. And that's what you're meant to do as the body of Christ. And you do that all the time. There's no delay. There's no problem. You just do that. Miracles are happening every single day. And you're part and parcel of those miracles. When you make a prayer, it has an effect. You might not immediately see the effect. You mightn't see the lame getting up and walk yet. But you keep praying. You keep working. You keep realizing that the Spirit of God is working in you. It's working through you. This sermon is about being thankful. And you should be thankful for all that God has given you. And you are. But there's another aspect of thankfulness that you have to understand. You are a gift from God. You are the gift. He gave you eternal life so that you could continue the work of Jesus Christ here on earth. Who did Jesus work with? Did he go to the religious peoples and pray with them? No. He went to everyone else. In fact, he had a wee problem sometimes with the religious people, but that's neither here nor there. The point was, you have that responsibility to interact with the people in the world. You have the responsibility to allow the fullness of Christ to be reflected in everything that you do. That's why I said, it's how you react at work, it's how you react in the road, it's how you react in the shops. That's how you represent Christ. That's how you reflect Him. Because when the people see what you do, they're quite amazed. You might say, well, what? They don't really notice. You'd be surprised. Somebody's coming to you in the queue and you just step back and say, yeah, please, go ahead. They're quite amazed that you would do that. somebody accidentally clips your car and they're all panicky and worried and all the rest, and you say, "No, there's no real damage. I think you've done more damage to yourself than to me. Forget about it." They're amazed. Somebody starts saying to you about not feeling well, and you listen to what they say. They're quite amazed. But they feel better because they've unburdened themselves, and you've listened. And those are only the simple things that you can do. Your gifts then move into the other realm. You see, you can take any of those things and present it immediately before God. You can say, "Father, this individual has just clipped my car. There's no real damage, but they're upset about it. Allow them to see it's not a big thing, that cars are only bits of metal that you provide. And allow them to be able to see a positive outcome to this." But they didn't do it intentionally. It was the boy with the horns that was driving the hen. And that's what you have to remember. Every time you come up against a situation, a problem, a difficulty that could get, shall we say, explosive, it's not the individual facing you who's the problem. It's the person motivating them, who we often say is the guy with the horns and the red face. Though he ain't. Satan is the motivation for what happens in this world. I said about thankfulness. Jesus once told the disciples off. He said to them, they had come and said, "Look, we met a man and he was casting out devils in your name." So we said to him, "Well, he's not running with us, so therefore, under no circumstances is he allowed to do this." So we told him to stop. And Jesus took him apart. He says, "What did you do that for? If he is doing it in my name, then he can't very well criticize me or say anything bad about me. He's got to be doing the right thing. You should have let him get on with it." But Jesus also told a parable. That was an interesting parable, because the disciples hadn't got a clue what it meant. Most of the parables were like that. They just didn't have a clue what it meant, because they meant so much. There was so much in them. This parable was of a man who owned a field. He was a rich man, and he prepared his field for a crop. So after he had got the crop, the field prepared and all the stones out of it, and made sure there was no weeds lying about or anything else, and the ground was perfect condition to sow, he then went out and he bought the most expensive grain he could get. Now, in those days, you could do this, because it was a very simple process. You had slaves, and they picked off all the dead ones, pulled it out, and they examined it, and you would end up with very expensive grain, but guaranteed 100% crop. No problem. So, the man reckoned, good value, we'll do that. So he bought the best of everything, put it in his field. After he'd finished the hard work, getting it all prepared, along comes an enemy. Now, he didn't like the man, so he decided to get all those bits that were pulled out of the grain, all those bits that were useless, and he sowed them all over the whole field. And as the field starts to grow, what do we see? The tares are growing up among the wheat. Now, when the servants of the man saw this, they immediately said to him, "Here, didn't you get the best seed?" They were obviously thinking along the lines, maybe we should sue the guy that supplied this. But he said, no. An enemy has done this. So they said, "Okay, well, we go out and pick all these out. Pick them all out." But the man said, "No, don't do that. See, at this moment in time, because they've started to grow, their roots are wrapped up among the roots of all the other grains. So if you go and pick out a tare, you're going to pick out half the seed as well, the good stuff. I don't want to do that. Let it all grow." So the field grew well. Marvellous crop. Mostly weeds, but that's beside the point. Weeds do well in good soil. But come the harvest, the order was given, separate the weeds from the right. and the weeds were taken and burned, and the wheat was put into the barns. And the disciples hadn't got a clue what all that meant. Not an inkling. So they said to Jesus, explain. So he did. He said, the field is the world. The seed is the word of God. The owner of the field is God himself. The seed is the good people. The crop's the good people. The tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy was the wicked one. And the ones who harvest and do the planting and all the rest were the angels. So he explained it like that, and it was left like that, and nobody really gave it much thought. But in Acts 16, turn with me to Acts 16 a moment. I'm going to bring this across. So how's this to do with thankfulness? I'll explain in a minute. It does tie in, honestly. Paul and Silas are in Philistia. Now, Philistia was a town where there wasn't a lot of Jews. We can tell this because they didn't have a synagogue. Wherever the Jews actually managed to get their foothold in, one of the first things they did was build a synagogue. So the fact there was no synagogue in this town tells us there wasn't a lot of Jews there. And in Philistia, they went and they met with the women of the town and all the rest, now near the river, where the women were praying on the Sabbath. So they went down and they joined them there. And while they were there, in verse 17, a girl began to follow Paul and Silas. And this girl began telling everybody who heard her that these are the servants of the Most High God. They have the way to salvation. Listen to what they say. They're telling you the truth. Silas and Paul discussed this. This girl was not in the church. She was not a Christian. She was a Gentile. And they were reasonably sure, because of her giftings, that she wasn't of God. But the problem was, Silas remembers this story that Jesus had once tackled the disciples on. Remember? There was a man who had been casting out devils in Jesus' name, but he wasn't part of the group. And they'd got a right rollicking because they had told him to stop. And so Silas brings this across to Paul, and he says to Paul, you know, if we tell this girl, stop it, we could be causing problems. We shouldn't do that. Because she can't very well say that Jesus is good and yet be opposite against him. That's what Jesus had told us. And so you can understand the situation here. So the Bible tells us here that this girl continued what she was doing for many days. She actually had an opportunity to proclaim her message for many days. And her message was very simple. These men have the gift of life. They know the way of truth. They're telling you the truth. They are the servants of the Most High God. Right. You can see Silas's position here. He understood what she was saying because he knew who the Most High God was. Paul was a wee bit unsure about all this, though. You see, he was uncomfortable with the fact that this girl didn't have the Spirit of Christ. And he knew that. But he also knew that he couldn't very well come along and cast out the spirit when it's doing good. So he couldn't see any problem. He was looking in from a physical standpoint. He was receiving the counsel from the others who were saying, look at the people that are coming to listen to us. They're coming from all over. They're all coming to be baptized and accepting Jesus Christ unto us. I mean, it's amazing the amount of people started to grow in Philistia. It really was. But then the Holy Spirit brought something to Paul's attention. And after that item was brought to his attention, Paul became very, very annoyed. Very angry and very upset. And he immediately commanded the Spirit and the girl to leave. And with that, he and Silas also ended up having to leave. But that's what happens. What did the Holy Spirit show Paul? It doesn't tell us in the Bible, by the way, but what do you think it was? I would put it to you that Paul was reminded about a field perfectly prepared for a good seed. And the best seed that was purchased being sowed in that seed. Because that was his job. He was sowing seed. He was doing that job. But an enemy had come to that within the parable and mixed with the good seed a false seed. And that's exactly what happened here. See, Paul became aware of the fact that this girl, for all the good intentions the church was seeing and all the growth, was doing something which the Satan couldn't do normally. And that was attract people to God. She was doing it. Why, ask yourself, would Satan want people to be brought into the church of God? Why would he want growth? I'm not talking small growth. I'm talking lots of growth, massive growth. Why would he want that? Why would he be interested in opening us all up to the entire world so that everyone is coming from all shapes and sizes to come into the church? Because God was only calling those whom he had chosen. Those who would present fruit worthy of salvation. Those who would carry the life of Jesus Christ all out into the world and be the body of Christ completely. But what was being brought into the church through this girl, they were coming in because they were afraid. If they didn't listen to what the girl was saying to them, and they knew she was always right, they were going to lose out on the best opportunity of their lives. They knew she was right. They had complete confidence in her. She never made a mistake. People paid fortunes to her owners to get her advice. This was quite a statement. Yet the Bible tells us that. History tells us about girls of this type as well, especially in this area. They were called oracles. And the oracle was always a female, and the oracle was always around 80. The whole point about it was they never told you lies. Scary, isn't it? Satan telling the truth. But it was never to help you. They just didn't lie. But this particular instance had been used by Satan to inflict on the church a terrible, terrible harvest. Because from here, the church says, and you will read it in different places, there has come from among us those who are anti-Christian, who do not have the Spirit of Christ. They were with us, they came from us, but they were never of us. In other words, from the very body of the church, from the very people that were being taught and brought up in the church, we suddenly had found that the enemy had planted loads of people. And they were, for all intent and purpose, Christians. But they were never called by God, they never received the Holy Spirit, they had never accepted Jesus Christ fully in their lives. Which is why we need to keep going back to the fact of why you are thankful. Are you thankful that you've escaped death? Are you thankful that you have been given life? Are you thankful for other reasons? You have a lot of reasons to be thankful for. They're not bad, but you need to analyze them. You need to look at them. Check the motives. Find out the motivation behind it. Check the Spirit. Because the Spirit will determine if it's of God or if it's not. If it is of God, then you will have the characteristics and the mind of Christ. You will behave Christ-like. You will develop Christ-like attitudes. That doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. You will still do the wrong thing from time to time, because sometimes you forget to let Christ lead. Sometimes you will react rather than Christ. But you know, there are people in this world who are Christians, and they wouldn't understand Christ-like attitude if it was painted for them, because they don't have it. They always react according to the flesh. They are always interested in their own rights. They are always wanting to be foremost in all the gatherings. They want to be successful in everything they do, and the reason they come to God is so that He will give them success. They believe that when you pray for somebody, you see instant results. There's loads and loads of people who don't reflect Christ, and yet they're called Christians. And all that started here in Acts 16, but it had been pre-warned by Jesus in the parable of the field. But you, all of you here, you have been chosen. You are picked seed. There's no tares. There's no weeds. You here have all received the call of God to allow the fullness of Christ to become active in your life, to do what is right, to allow the fullness of God to be seen here in Ballymoney and in all your different towns and everywhere else around, in your workplace, in your home, everywhere you go, by how you talk, by how you act, by what you say. That's what God has given to you and your responsibility. Should you be thankful for Jesus Christ? Of course. Without Christ, you couldn't do any of this. But He said, it's the life that you've been given. Why did He put emphasis on that? Well, I'll tell you why. Very simply. If you know your life is secure, then you're not worried about what happens here. If you know it is safe, then you will risk everything, because you've got nothing to lose here. That's why the emphasis is on that your life is secure. You've received the gifts of the Spirit. You've received the opportunity to serve God. If you want to give someone to God, then let the fullness of Christ be your gift to Him. Let His reflection come through you. And be thankful in all things.